from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back again in English Bulletin for today. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and My Indonesia. We will continue our program with news in brief, Indonesian Wonder, and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Visiting MRT project, Indonesian President Joko Widodo expects it to be completed on time. President Joko Widodo wants acceleration on criminal law draft. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo visited the construction of Mass Rapid Transit MRT project at the Hotel Indonesia Roundabout and Senayan area, Jakarta, on Wednesday. He said that the visit was aimed to ensure that the project is running on schedule. He also stated that his visit was also to ensure Jakarta's readiness ahead of Asian Games to be held in August. The president stated that the MRT construction project has been running according to the schedule and will start operating in March 2019. Ahead of the Asian Games, the president hopes that the traffic in Jakarta, especially in Senayan area, will not be disturbed by the construction of MRT.
Saya datang lagi melihat ini jauh. Pembangunan proyek besar kita, yaitu MRT.
I came to see the development of our big project, namely MRT. I want a certainty that according to the schedule and according to the time that has been set since the beginning, I asked the director that this project will be completed on time. That can be commercially operated next year in March. That means no backwards. Then, the second one relates to the Asian Games in August 2018. The Jakarta governor also conveyed that the white pavement in Semanggi to Senayan area will be finished as well. It is already started, so really, when we welcome the Asian Games guests, as many as 30,000 of athletes and guests later, Jakarta is really in a state that is ready, clean, beautiful, and we expect everything on time.
Tadi Pak Gubernur DKI Jakarta juga menyampaikan bahwa trotoar lebar yang di Semanggi sampai di Senayan area ini akan sudah selesai juga. Ini sudah dimulai juga. Sehingga betul-betul pada saat kita menyambut tamu-tamu Asian Games sebanyak kurang lebih 30 ribuan atlet dan tamu, nanti betul-betul Jakarta ini sudah dalam keadaan yang siap, yang bersih, indah, dan ya kita harapkan semuanya tepat waktu.
According to data from PT MRT Jakarta, the total project of MRT development has finished more than 91%. It is including the elevated and the underground construction that connect from Lebak Bulus to Hotel Indonesia Roundabout. The first phase of MRT construction reaches 16 kilometers connected by double-track railway. During the visit, President Joko Widodo was accompanied by Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi, Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan, President Director of PT MRT Jakarta William Sabandar, and Chairman of the Nasdem Party Surya Paloh. President Joko Widodo hopes that the discussion on the criminal code draft can be immediately passed during the reign of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla. This was affirmed by the President when meeting the team for formulating the draft of the criminal code at Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. Head of the National Legal Development Agency, Eni Nurbaningsih, explained in the meeting that President Joko Widodo does hope the acceleration of the criminal code draft can be implemented sooner.
Jadi Presiden berharap bahwa kalau bisa di masa sidang ini bisa kita percepat. Karena apa? Karena kekhawatiran kita semua.
The President hopes for the acceleration because we all have the same concern to avoid bigger issue, especially in these political years. The next new leader will repeat it from zero. This will avoid us from having our own criminal law. This is the President's concern to be accelerated.
Karena dia akan diulangi dari nol lagi di dalam periode pemerintahan berikutnya. Jadi kita ini siklusnya kalau begitu terus nggak pernah punya yang namanya KUHP milik bangsa kita sendiri.
Furthermore, Annie Nurbanisi said that during the meeting, President Joko Widodo had also received complete explanation related to pros and cons circulating among the community about the draft of criminal law. Some articles in the draft that trigger pros and cons among communities are the ones on insulting the president, death sentence, LGBT, as well as the corruption crime. President Joko Widodo welcomed inputs from the Association of Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs, HIPMI, that encourages the government to empower the economic potential of Islamic boarding schools or pesantren. During the second plenary meeting and the 2018 National Leaders Meeting of the Association in Tangerang, Banten, on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo said that the government is currently establishing the micro wakaf banks in several Islamic boarding schools to improve their economy. He views that one micro wakaf bank has the amount of capital from 6 to 8 billion rupiah.
HIPMI tentunya dalam apa rapimnas, dalam sidang pleno nanti akan merumuskan kira-kira apa sih.
Let HIPMI formulate it, especially economic players in Islamic boarding schools. As from our side, we have started its capital. In addition, there are a lot of issues in business and economy that are related not only to the capital issue. There might be market access issue. I will receive them next week at the presidential palace. But the government has started the financial access and capital access through the micro wakaf bank.
HIPMI pusat maupun provinsi saya terima di istana. Tapi pemerintah sudah memulai untuk sisi akses keuangan, akses permodalan lewat bank wakaf mikro. Ini terus akan kita buka terus.
President Joko Widodo further hopes that the National Leaders Meeting of the Indonesian Young Entrepreneur Association, HIPMI, will be able to formulate brilliant ideas for Islamic boarding schools' economic development. The President wants the religious-based education institutions to be able to create economic players. One of them is through micro, small, and medium enterprises. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, held a bilateral meeting with the head of the organization board Girls Not Brides, Princess of the Netherlands, Mabel van Oranje-Nassau, at the office of the Coordinating Ministry for Human Development and Culture in Jakarta on Wednesday, March 7. In the meeting discussing child marriage in Indonesia, Minister Puan disclosed that in Indonesia, the number of underage marriages is still relatively high. One of the government's efforts to overcome is through education.
Ya, angkanya memang saat ini masih relatif cukup tinggi.
Yes, the number is currently still relatively high because we still have problems. One of the problems is dropping out of school. Thus, the government is carrying out one thing by providing smart Indonesian cards so that the children of Indonesia can avoid dropping out of school to obtain education. Furthermore, Minister Puan Maharani said that the age at first marriage should be minimal after graduating from senior high school. Because of underage marriage, from their reproduction and mentality, they are considered not ready to get married. Meanwhile, the Dutch princess highly appreciates the efforts of the Indonesian government and offers her support as head counsel of the global organization Girls Not Brides to support all programs in Indonesia. The government of Indonesia welcomes the peaceful settlement of maritime boundaries between East Timor and Australia. This was stated by the Indonesian government in connection with the signing of the agreement between the Democratic Republic of Timor-Leste and Australia on the maritime zone of the Timor Sea through the Conciliation Commission under the mechanism under the 1982 Sea Law Convention in New York on March 6, 2018. According to Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, although Indonesia is not a party to the reconciliation process, Indonesia closely observes the process of reconciliation and ensures that conciliation will not affect Indonesia's maritime rights under the Sea Law Convention or UNCLOS 1982. In regard to this, Australia and East Timor have declared that their second conciliation under UNCLOS 1982 has no impact on Indonesia's maritime rights. The Indonesian government is preparing a protective measure if Chinese products are flooding the Indonesian steel market following the imposition of steel and aluminum import duties by the U.S. government. As reported by Antara, Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto said in Jakarta Wednesday, March the 7th, that the imposition of duty is feared to make China targeting Indonesia as an American substitute market. He explained that the government has made preparations by monitoring the flow of imported goods into Indonesia in cooperation with the Ministry of Trade. To anticipate the excessive import volume, Minister Erlangga admitted that the government does not hesitate to impose a custom duty of protection as the U.S. does. However, such protection will be enforced in an emergency when the industry has begun to feel its impact. Australian Federal Police Chief Andrew Colvin says that he is impressed with the ways of National Agency for Combating Terrorism BNPT in carrying out a counter-terrorism program in Indonesia. This was stated by the head of the agency, Police Commissioner General Suhardi Alius, after receiving Colvin's visit in Jakarta on Wednesday, March the 7th. As quoted by Antara, Suhardi explained to Colvin that in tackling terrorism, the National Agency for Combating Terrorism, BNPT, used both hard and soft approach in the form of law enforcement. However, a hard approach is considered not to solve the problem. To convince the Australian delegation during the meeting, the agency played movie about its efforts to build Islamic boarding school in Seh Mencirim, Deli Serdang, North Sumatra, and Tenggulung village in Lamonganis, Java, to accommodate the children of former terrorist prisoners or combatants not to follow in the footsteps. The National Agency for Combating Terrorism, BNPT, also uses ex-terrorist prisoners as a resource person to share awareness to his counterparts. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Visiting MRT project, Indonesian President Joko Widodo expects it to be completed on time. Indonesian President Joko Widodo wants acceleration on criminal law draft. And listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with the program commentary. The title of today's commentary is "To Reduce Violence Against Women Through Empowerment." March 8 is celebrated worldwide as International Women's Day. This celebration is a form of appreciation of women's achievement in various fields, ranging from politics to social spheres. At the same time, the celebration also shows that a lot of homework has to be done. One of them is the level of violence against women. International Women's Day has a long history of protests or demonstrations by women in America and Europe to demand their rights in the early 20th century. March 8 was chosen to commemorate the massive demonstration and strikes by women that took place in Russia on 8 of March 2017. In 1977, International Women's Day was inaugurated as an annual celebration by the United Nations to fight for women's rights and to realize world peace. According to UN Women's Watch, this year's theme is "Time Is Now: Rural and Urban Activists Transforming Women's Lives." This theme is inspired from the campaign #MeToo in the United States and other countries around the world, such as France, Mexico, Italy, and even Arab countries. The campaign was conducted to show how widespread the incidence of violence and sexual harassment against women is, especially in the workplace, which has happened so far. International Women's Day wants a movement to provide support to those who are victims of sexual harassment. In addition, this year's theme also wants the advocacy or legal assistance given to the survivors and punishment to the perpetrators. One of the steps that can be taken to reduce violence against women is through empowerment. At the UN Forum in New York in last September 2015, all member countries of the UN, including Indonesia, along with UN Women, launch Planet 2030. The target to be achieved in 2030 is gender equality, 50-50, or condition in which one country has created justice and equality between men and women in all aspects. This can be achieved by increasing the empowerment of women in various fields. Empowerment is the key to eliminating violence and improving women's dignity. This empowerment can start from instilling values that respect the existence of women in the family. In addition, women need to be empowered economically, because the family economy becomes one of the causes of violence, and women have a major role in the family economy. Empowerment must be done since early, including in Indonesia. That's by instilling an even education and various skills for girls. This task is the responsibility of all parties to eliminate violence against women as a final result can be achieved. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In our program, Today in History, we start from an event on March 8, 1917, when Papal Revolution broke. On March 8, 1917, Papal Revolution broke in Russia and overthrew Tsar Nicholas II. It was named February Revolution, because at the time Russia used Julian calendar, which at the day fell on February 23rd. At the day, tens of thousands of Petrograd or Saint Petersburg people went down to the street to protest, let out food. Royal Kingdom intervened and riot broke out. A week later, Emperor Nicholas II was overthrown and the government of the emperors of the country ended. The revolution broke because Russian people had been surfeited with Tsar's government, which was tyrannically and corrupt. Emperor Nicholas II dismissed Duma or Russian parliamentary several times, which was established after 1905 revolution. Every time the Duma decision was against his wish. The unstable politics made the economy of Russia be destroyed, and ended with the loss which was assumed by Russia because Russia joined in the World War I. After Tsar Nicholas II was overthrown, Vladimir Lenin led Bolshevik Party, returning from his exile in Sweden and led revolution of the communists in Russia. On March 8, 1942, after 2 months fighting, finally the Dutch forces, which had colonized Indonesia for 3 centuries, surrendered to Japanese forces. On January 11, 1942, Japan declared war against the Dutch by invading Borneo or Kalimantan and Celebes Island or Sulawesi. Afterwards, Japan continued its invasion to Java Island. The Japanese forces landed in Japan February 14th. The Dutch troops, which was supported by England and Australia, was not able to defend Japanese invasion. And finally, on March 8, 1942, the Dutch surrendered by signing the agreement in Kalijati near Suban, West Java. The last event was in 1978 about World Women Day. The United Nations decided World Women Day on March 8, 1978. The date is officially entered on the list, which was suggested for holiday by the United Nations. The United Nations also dedicated March 8 as a Women's Day. The decision of the date is based on history of women's movement in the industrial era. On March 8, 1857, female laborers of garment factory in New York conducted protests against the condition of their workplace, which was inhuman and low wage. On March 8, 1908, at least 15,000 female laborers at the same city demanded shorter work hours and right of vote. The protest, which was organized, was not only conducted in the United States of America, but also other countries in Europe. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to the segment of My Indonesia. Today's topic is about revitalization of community-based Teso Nilo ecosystem. Ministry of Environment and Forestry will conduct revitalization of Teso Nilo ecosystem in Riau as a recovery effort of regional function, handling of forest and land fires, and prevention of illegal logging. Professor Haryadi Kartodiharjo from Bogor Agriculture Institute IPB has said in Jakarta recently that the revitalization program will guarantee the fulfillment of people's constitutional rights, including improvement of welfare. In addition, the revitalization can realize the certainty of forest-based and land-based businesses, including harmonization of large and small business relationships. Professor Haryadi also said that the Teso Nilo ecosystem area covers three regencies, namely Kampar Pelalawan and Kuantan Singingi, including Teso Nilo National Park and Production Forest Area, with a total area of 900,000 hectares. In addition, he mentioned that there are 23 villages in Teso Nilo ecosystem area. Four of the villages are located adjacent to the national park area. The condition of Teso Nilo ecosystem is a complex typology of problems. Various issues related to the functions of forest, rare flora fauna that need to be protected, the dynamic of social economy of local communities, customs and immigrants, as well as large companies need to be addressed. In response to this condition, Secretary General of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Bambang Hendriono, said that the revitalization activities have been conducted since 2016 by a team involving the central government and regional government. For 2 years, the team has conducted identification, inventory, verification in the areas of problems that occurred in the field. The result is a framework of Teso Nilo ecosystem management revitalization with a community-based approach. This program will be run by the implementation team. The main mechanism in the implementation of the revitalization consists of instruments of social forestry and agrarian reform, in addition to recovering palm oil governance and establishing market and infrastructure. The implementation of revitalization is aimed at improving people's economy. Bambang also said that the process is still going on, including the law enforcement. So, it is a simultaneous program along with the law enforcement, the social forestry, agrarian reform, and finally, the unity of ecosystem can be recovered. That was today's edition of My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with Nusin Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo visited the construction of Mass Rapid Transit MRT project in the Hotel Indonesia Roundabout and Senayan area, Jakarta, on Wednesday. He said that the visit was aimed at ensuring that the project is running on schedule. President Joko Widodo hopes that the discussion of the criminal code draft can be immediately passed during the reign of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla. President Joko Widodo welcomed inputs from the Association of Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs, or HIPMI, that encourages the government to empower the economic potential of Islamic boarding schools or pesantren. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, held a bilateral meeting with the head of the organization Board Girls Not Brides Princess of the Netherlands, Mabel van Oranje-Nassau, at the office of the Coordinating Ministry for Human Development and Culture in Jakarta on Wednesday, March the 7th. The government of Indonesia welcomes the peaceful settlement of maritime boundaries between East Timor and Australia. This was stated by the Indonesian government in connection with the signing of the agreement between the Democratic Republic of Timor-Leste and Australia on the maritime zone of the Timor Sea through the Conciliation Commission under the mechanism of 1982 Sea Law Convention in New York on March 6, 2018. The Indonesian government is preparing a protective measure if Chinese products are flooding the Indonesian steel market following the imposition of steel and aluminum import duties by the US government. And the last item, Australian Federal Police Chief Andrew Colvin says that he is impressed with the ways of the National Agency for Combating Terrorism, BNPT, in carrying out a counter-terrorism program in Indonesia. And listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Aceh province. Stay tuned. Listener, Banda Aceh is the capital city of Aceh province. It is located at the tip of Sumatra Island. Geographically, the region borders directly with Indian Ocean to the west, Bengala Bay to the east, and the Malacca Strait to the north. Therefore, it is not surprising that Banda Aceh is surrounded by beautiful beaches. For those who love and like marine tourism, we recommend you to visit the beaches in Aceh Besar. One of them is Kuala Lumpur Beach. Listener, Kuala Lumpur Beach is located on the edge of the Malabo Banda Aceh National Highway. Recently, Kuala Lumpur Beach becomes a favorite place of many tourists because in addition to its natural beauty, the beach is also renovated with a variety of beautiful and romantic ornaments and beautiful selfie spots that can be easily found around it. For those who are interested to visit Kuala Lumpur, the beach is easily accessible from Banda Aceh City, which takes about an hour from Banda Aceh City. To enter the Kuala Lumpur Beach, you have to pay a ticket for only 20,000 rupiah per person. It has included four vehicle parking fees. When you arrive at Kuala Lumpur Beach, you will feel the cool air of the beach, the view of the blue waters and clean sand of the beach. You will enjoy the view of colored umbrellas hung on the trees. The spot becomes a unique selfie location for the visitors. Moreover, the beach also offers a seat from the sofa on the beach that overlooks at the free ocean. There is also some modified swing like a bird cage, and a swing that overlook to the sunset, with a love-shaped frame and other ornaments. These ornaments become an attractive photo spot for tourists. Listener, besides taking pictures, you can feel the freshness of the seawater on the beach by swimming and taking relax. Kuala Lumpur Beach is equipped with various facilities such as bathroom, parking lot, places for rest, and restaurant. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Kuala Lumpur Beach in Banda Aceh. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics.
Service, Voice of Indonesia. Here is my language, informing you the traditional languages of Indonesia. Listener, Indonesia has hundreds of traditional languages spread across the regions. However, not all of them are known well by the people of Indonesia or even foreign people. One of them is Tobati language from Jayapura, Papua. Tobati language origins from the people living around Yotefa Bay or Jayapura Bay in Jayapura City, Papua Province. Currently, the speakers of Tobati language are spread in three districts in Papua Province, namely South Jayapura, Abepura, and Muara Tami. The amount of Tobati speakers in 1984 was 800 and becoming 600 in 1999. However, the number of speakers now is decreasing due to the influence of other languages. Even the speakers of Tobati language are predicted to be only 500 people remaining, which all of them are elderly. Therefore, the Tobati language is categorized as seriously endangered language. The alphabet of Tobati language uses the same ones with Indonesian or Latin. However, there are several characters unavailable in Tobati language, such as X, Q, V, and Z. Another uniqueness of Tobati language is its clause and sentence structure. If Indonesian structure consists of subject, predicate, object, the Tobati language uses subject, object, predicate. Listener, here is several word examples of Tobati language. Engu, engu, in English. I, entrica, entrica, in English. They, one, want, in English. Eat, nasre, nasre, in English. Popeda, moghot, moghot, in English. Mount, recau, recau, in English. To hike, rora, rora, in English. Yesterday. Listener, now here are some examples of sentences in Tobati language. Nu nasre want. In English, I eat popeda. Rora entrija mogot recau. Rora entrija mogot recau. In English, yesterday they hiked the mountain. Listener, that was my language for today about Tobati language. Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular music corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present nostalgic pop songs to you from Frankie and Jane. Well listener, let's listen to the first song, entitled Musim Bunga by Frankie and Jane. Happy listening. Frankie and Jane Sahilatua are the two siblings who have the fusion of vocals that makes the duo group has a distinctive character. The group brings pop, folk, and country genres. The album entitled Musim Bunga was an album that became the starting point of their popularity. The album was released in 1978 and managed a huge success in the market. There are several hits that still popular until nowadays, such as Musim Bunga bus kota, and perjalanan. You've just listened to the song entitled Musim Bunga. The song, which was composed by Frankie Sailatua, was one of the best Indonesian long-lasting songs of Rolling Stone Indonesia magazine version. But listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Perjalanan by Frankie and Jane. Enjoy the song. Unlike the song Musim Bunga, which contains about wonderful of the nature, the song Perjalanan raised the theme of daily life. The song, which was composed by Frankie Sahilatua and Judith, tells the story of a girl's journey back to her hometown by train. During the journey, there was a mother sitting close to her, staring at her wistfully. Apparently, her face is the same to the mother's daughter who passed away long time ago. Well, listener, to conclude this segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kepada Angin dan Burung-Burung and Pelangi di Musim Bunga by Frankie and Jane. Have listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.